ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 4 Text number 12. Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Nama Parasmaya Purushaya Bhuyase.
Nama Parasmaya Purushaya Bhuyase.
Sadudbhava Sthana Nirhoda Leelaya.
Sadudbhava Sthana Nirhoda Leelaya.
Grihita Shakti Triti. Sorry. Grihita Shakti Trittayay Dehinam Antar Bhavayanu Palakshya Vartmane. Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shri
Shukadev Goswami said,
Namaha,
offering obeisances,
Parasmai,
the Supreme,
Purushaya,
personality of Godhead,
Bhuyase,
unto the complete whole,
Sadudbhava,
the creation of the material world,
Sthana,
its maintenance,
Nirodha,
and its winding up,
Leelaya,
by the pastime of,
Grihita,
having accepted, Shakti,
power,
Tritayaya, three modes,
Dehinam,
of all who possess material bodies, Anta Bhavaya, unto he who resides within,
Anupalakshya,
inconceivable,
Vartmane,
one who has such ways. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, for the creation of the material world, accepts the three modes of nature. He is the complete whole residing within the body of everyone, and His ways are inconceivable. Purport. This material world is a manifestation of the three modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. And the Supreme Lord, for the creation, maintenance and destruction of the material world, accepts three predominating forms as Brahma, Vishnu and Shankar, Shiva. As Vishnu, he enters into every body materially created. As Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he enters into every universe. And as Shivadakshaya Vishnu, he enters the body of every living being. Lord Shri Krishna, being the origin of all Vishnu Tattvas, is addressed here as Parapaman or Purushottama, as described in the Bhagavad Gita 15:18. He is the complete whole. The Purushavatars are therefore his plenary expansions. Bhakti Yoga is the only process by which one can become competent to know him, because the empiric philosophers and mystic yogis cannot conceive of the personality of Godhead. He is called Anupalakshya Vartmane, the Lord of the Inconceivable Way or Bhakti Yoga. Translation again. Shukadeva Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, for the creation of the material world, accepts the three modes of nature. He is the complete whole, residing within the body of everyone, and His ways are inconceivable. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Vishnana Shlakya Chakshun Unmritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare. So this chapter is entitled The Process of Creation, and Maharaj Parikshit, in text number 6, he inquired from Shukadev Goswami about how this material world is created, how the Supreme Lord, through His energies creates this phenomenal universe or universes. And now Shukdev Goswami is beginning to reply to his series of questions. So here in this verse, this is his first verse in which he begins to answer. So this, actually Prabhupada mentions in the purports before that any inquisitive person, any man who is a little bit inquisitive, will want to know about how this creation came about. So what's the source of this creation? So this question comes in the mind of any rational person, and we see that so many, all of us, we have asked that question, and even scientists and philosophers and cosmologists, they are also asking that question, and they are conducting so much research into the how we have come about in this material world, and what is our source. So here even Maharaj Parikshit is asking this question, though Maharaj Parikshit is a very advanced devotee. Maharaj Parikshit is an Uttama Adhikari. So Maharaj Parikshit, though he's a Rajarshi or a king, but he's not an ordinary king, he is a saintly king. And Maharaj Parikshit, we know his history. He was cursed by a Brahmana boy to die in 7 days by a snake bite. So, and he only had 7 days, and he took shelter of the Ganges, the Yamuna, and then he took shelter of spiritual master Shukdev Goswami, and from him he's hearing all this. So the goal of Krishna consciousness is actually to develop love for God, love for Krishna, prema pumarto mahan. So the goal of our practice of bhakti is to develop pure love for Krishna, and specifically like the residents of Vrindavan, so Braj Bhakti. So Maharaj Parikshit, Prabhupada also mentioned in the previous purports that he only had 7 days, and if he wanted, he could have gone straight to the 10th canto. So the 10th canto is the smiling face of Krishna. So the 10th canto is the summum bonum. So the whole idea is to come to the 10th canto where one can absorb one's mind in the pastimes of the Lord and the residents of Vrindavan. See how they are rendering devotional service and to follow in their footsteps. So Maharaj Parikshit could have come straight to that. He could have requested Shukdev Goswami, okay, tell me about the pastimes of Krishna. But we see that he's approached the pastimes of the Lord in a very systematic way, though he didn't have to. But he did that to set an example for us. And he also wanted to know about the creation, because Krishna is inconceivable, he's unlimited. So one can only know so much about him. So he wanted to know more about the creation, and he asked Shukdev Goswami to tell him more about the creation. So we can see that such an advanced devotee is also very keenly hearing the pastimes of Srishti Tattva, or the material creation. So then we are no one who can just say, we cannot write off these chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Or these cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, that we straight away want to go to the 10th canto. So this is the practice which occurs in India very, very frequently. If you go to Vrindavan or Mathura or some holy city there, they have Bhagavat Saptas. So in those Bhagavat Saptas, they go straight to the 10th canto, and even in the 10th canto, they go to the Rasa Leela. Straight to the Rasa Leela. But Maharaj Parikshit is teaching us that we should not go straight over there. We should be humble and start from the beginning. So humility means to understand where we are, to make an honest assessment of where we are situated. That's humility. So we have to be humble and understand what our situation is, and to begin from the Bhagavad Gita. So all of Prabhupada's books are pretty amazing. In Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada is giving the highest to the lowest in a way that we can understand it. So Maharaj Parikshit, his mind was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And even in the first verse of this chapter, you can see it's mentioned. Suta Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Uttara, after hearing the speeches of Shukadeva Goswami, which were all about the truth of the Self, applied his concentration faithfully upon Lord Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit understood the goal of Krishna consciousness. And even in the 10th canto, we see in the first chapter, text 15, there also Srila Shukadeva Goswami, he glorifies Maharaj Parikshit for being able to fix his mind on topics of Krishna, and therefore his intelligence is fixed. So Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, O your majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudev, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime. So Maharaj Parikshit, he definitely knew the goal of life. And it will do us great, it will do us well, it will do us a lot of benefit if we understand the purpose of material creation. So it's very important to understand the purpose of material creation if we want to get detached from the material creation. So we need to understand how it works. So as we know from the Bhagavad Gita, that the material creation is vyakta and avyakta. So the material creation is manifest and unmanifest again and again for the rest of eternity. So with the so Brahma takes birth, material creation is there. When he dies, material creation ceases. It's unmanifest. And even when Brahma sleeps, there's a partial annihilation. So there is manifestation and unmanifestation occurring all the time from the lower levels to a higher level. So we can see our own bodies. It's been created and destroyed. So there's manifestation, unmanifestation, according to a karma. So we're getting new bodies. So then even the ages, they come and go. And then even the planets get destroyed and they're manifested with Brahma's waking up and sleep and going to bed. And then when Brahma dies, the entire creation is unmanifest for a while. And then we all are residing within the body of Mahavishnu and we are sleeping. So we are covered over. And then again the creation is manifest and all of us are out here according to a karma. We are in different bodies. So this creation is going on eternally. But the purpose of this creation is, there are two purposes of this creation. So one purpose is to, the primary purpose of this creation is to revive our dormant relationship with Krishna. So that's the primary purpose. And the secondary purpose of this creation is to imprison us and to teach us a lesson. So we have all read this in the books and we have heard so many lectures. So one purpose is to teach us a lesson by throwing us in the jail. Material world is a jail. So the purpose of a jail is to reform the living entity. It's to punish and also reform. So the primary purpose is to revive our loving relationship with Krishna. So Krishna has this primary purpose in his mind also. That's why Krishna, he descends once in a day of Brahma. And Krishna descends in so many other avatars. And Krishna sends his Shakta Vesh avatars and sends his pure devotees to fulfill the primary purpose of material creation, which is to develop a love for Krishna. So Krishna has this purpose in his forefront. That's why he comes so many times. So Krishna wants us to have a relationship with him which is based on love, not on fear. So no one likes to have a relationship which is based on fear. So because but fear is a good beginning. So originally our relationship with Krishna is one out of pure love, like the residents of Vrindavan. So their love for Krishna is so great that they don't even know that Krishna is God. So they are fully covered. But they have a very strong loving relationship with Krishna. And Krishna enjoys that relationship with them. So they serve him out of pure love without any other motivation. So that's what the definition of bhakti is. Anya bilashita shunyam. Jnana karmadi anavritam. So pure devotional service is, which is free from material desires, and for desires for karma, jnana, and mukti or all kinds of siddhis. or material desires. So that's what pure bhakti is. So the residents of Vrindavan and the pure devotees, they have that kind of love for Krishna, which is not driven by fear. But if we see, the Vaidhi Sarana Bhakti is driven by fear. Whereas pure bhakti or Raghunuga Bhakti is driven by love. So there's a difference. So we can see our devotion service is fear motivated. So if I don't, if I disobey the orders of my guru, then you know there's the fear. Then that I'm committing an offense. Or if I break the four regs, one of the four regs, so there's a fear in mind. Or if I don't do my service properly, someone will get on my case. So it's, again, there is fear. But fear is a good beginning in a relationship. But higher than that is... higher than that is actually... is pure love. So this pure love for Krishna is inherent within each and every living entity in this material world. So whether an ant or a microbe or Brahma or Indra. So this pure love for Krishna is inherent within every jiva. And specifically, love for Krishna, actually Braja Bhakti, that's inherent within the heart of every conditioned living entity, or every living entity, it's there. But at this point of time, it is covered. So this unalloyed love for Krishna, like following the residents of Vrindavan, is there within all of us. So the purpose of this movement, or the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, is we are actually a preaching movement. So the purpose of this preaching movement is to revive this love within all living entities, and certainly to revive it within ourselves. So first we have to become Krishna conscious. And first we have to understand what the purpose is. We have to understand what this movement is all about properly. And then we have to give that to others. And whoever comes to Krishna consciousness is the topmost living entity. We know that. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushya nam sahasreshu kastir yadati siddhai. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvata. That of thousands of men, hardly one endeavors for self-realization. And of those who have endeavored for self-realization, hardly one is liberated. Of those who are liberated, hardly one knows me in truth. So to become a devotee is extremely rare. A rare soul is a devotee. But even amongst devotees, to understand what it is all about and to develop pure love is extremely rare. So this movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is about giving out this kind of, is about spreading this kind of Krishna consciousness. And of course, all of us are on different levels. So as we know, there are three types of devotees. There's the Uttama Adhikari, there's the Madhyam, and then there's the Kanishta Adhikari. So there's a neophyte, medium, and advanced devotees. So there are different levels of devotees, and all of us are on different levels. But we have to rise up and up and go to the highest. And Prabhupada wants us to do that in one lifetime. It's quite a challenge. And if you see the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's the same, it's the same purpose as the Supreme Lord Krishna. That's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose is. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this material world 500 years ago. He descended. So it's described there are three internal purposes and there's one external purpose of his descent. So the purpose of his descent is to taste to experience what Srimati Radharani is experiencing for Krishna. The happiness she's experiencing, the love she's experiencing. So he wanted to experience all that. So that's the internal purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. He wanted to experience what Srimati Radharani is experiencing, because Krishna cannot understand what she is experiencing. She's experiencing a happiness which is even greater. So then Krishna wanted to understand that, then he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the external reason of his manifestation is to spread the congregational chanting of the names of Krishna. And specifically to preach this Braja Bhakti. That's the purpose of the descent of Mahaprabhu, the external reason. So the external reason is also quite important, because he's preaching or he's giving out what he's experiencing. So the internal is becoming external. So that's the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent. And that's the purpose of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And that's the very same purpose of ISKCON. Which is to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Braja. So that's what our movement is about. And if we read the Nectar of Devotion, chapters 18, 19, 20 onwards, there it's described that how to, if you want to, you know, develop a loving relationship with Krishna, then you have to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Braja. Not footsteps of the residents of Dwarka or Vaikuntha, but actually the residents of Vrindavan. So that is our process. And so one can develop pure love for Krishna, and the sadhana for that is Raganuga Bhakti. And to come to that, there is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So sadhana has two parts. There's Vaidhi and there's Raganuga. So to come to that, we have to develop love for Krishna, we have to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. And to come to that, we have to render devotional service, following rules and regulations, under the guidance of a spiritual master. So that's where we have to come at, and that's where we are. So we have to, and Prabhupada said, in one lifetime, you can develop love for Krishna. So for that means, we have to become very serious in order to come to that level. And what is holding us back is our offenses in chanting of the holy names. So every day we recite the 10 offenses to the chanting of the holy names. And the holy names of Krishna are so powerful that just by chanting them once, one can revive one's relationship with Krishna. One can destroy all sinful reactions and one can develop pure love for Godhead. Or even just by smelling the incense, or by honoring Tulasi. These items of bhakti are extremely powerful, but because we are covered and because of our offenses, we do not develop love for Krishna like this instantly. So it takes some time. So there are three stages in the chanting of the holy names. There's Nama Prat, Nama Bhas, and Shuddha Nam. So 10 offenses, the 10 offenses are not just something which we recite, but we have to be mindful of them for the rest of our life. So therefore, in Harinam Chintamani, the 10 offenses are elaborately described. So we need to understand the 10 offenses to the holy name. If once we understand, then we can avoid the 10 offenses. So of course, the Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada, they don't want us to stagnate on the platform of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So we have to go higher. And speaking for myself also, I'm also kind of stagnated. But so we have to avoid the offenses and then carry on. Otherwise, we'll be neophyte devotees for the rest of eternity. And in order to do that, we need to seek out good association. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. So that's why one of the principles of Krishna consciousness is to associate with devotees, and to associate with devotees who are more advanced than us, and especially Uttama Adhikaris. So when we associate with them, then what they have can rub off on us. So then we can come to the, we can understand the reality of what Krishna consciousness is about. So it's very important to understand the goal. So Krishna consciousness is divided into three parts. There's Sambandha, there's Abhideya, and there is Prayojana. So Prayojana you can say the 10th canto, or to understand Krishna and to develop the love for him. So Abhideya is the process. And Sambandha Gyan is to understand who we are, who is Krishna, and what are we doing in this material world. And actually, Sambandha includes understanding the goal also, and the process. It's like if we say, if you want to go to Sydney, so first you need to understand the goal. So what Sydney is, you know, there's the bay, there's the opera house, there's that harbour bridge, there is, you know, the beaches or whatever. There's Radha Gopinath, yeah, that's the most important. That's why Sydney is meaningful, because Radha Gopinath is there, otherwise it's useless. So if someone wants to go there, they have to understand the goal, and then they have to understand the process, how to get there. So they have to take the Hume Highway, or they take a flight, or they catch a train. And they should know where they are. You know, we are in Melbourne. They need to understand where exactly we are and how to get there. So understanding all this is like Sambandha. Just because you know the goal doesn't mean you're there. Just because you know Sydney doesn't mean you're over there. We actually have to go there. So Sambandha means to understand all this, understand the goal, understand the process, and understand who we are, what is the material world, and why we're suffering and all that. And then Abhideya is actually to engage in the process of devotional service, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And then the goal will come. So it's important to have an understanding of all this. So Maharaj Parikshit, he wants to understand the creation, though the time is short, 7 days are left. This is probably day one. Srimad Bhagavatam is just beginning. But so he wants to understand from the creation. So Canto 2, Canto 3 talk a lot about the creation. Even Canto 5 describes the structure of the universe. So one might think, you know, why do we need to understand all this? So Prabhupada mentions in the purports that it's important to understand this, so we develop our faith in Krishna. Otherwise, we'll take the pastimes of Krishna to be something mundane. So when we come to the 10th canto, and if we haven't understood the previous cantos and Bhagavad Gita, then the pastimes of Krishna will seem to be just like, you know, mundane activities, or very far out, you know, mythological activities. If we want to understand Krishna's activities, if we want to develop faith for Krishna and his activities, first we need to understand his tattva. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't talk so much about his activities. He mainly describes his tattva. And Bhagavad Gita ends with surrender unto Krishna. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the activities of Krishna are described in the 10th canto. So the first 9 cantos are about his different incarnations, about the creation, about the manvantaras, the manus. There's so many topics are there. So first one has to understand all that, so one can understand how great Krishna is. Without understanding the greatness of God, we cannot appreciate his pastimes. Otherwise that will just be a sentiment. So in India and so many parts of the world, people take Krishna to be, you know, the blue god. He's just a myth, or at most he's a historical personality, or some say he's made out of matter. He's just one of us, but someone more extraordinary. So in this way, people misunderstand Krishna and his pastimes. And we see even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, though Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the mind of Krishna, it's a very advanced literature, even there the pastimes of creation are described. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, Garbha Dakshay Vishnu is described, Karma Dakshay Vishnu, Shiro Dakshay Vishnu. So they are in relationship to the material world, as it's mentioned in this verse. So we know the Supreme Lord expands, the first expansion is Lord Balaram. Then from Lord Balaram comes the first quadruple, headed by Sankarshan. Then comes Narayan, then comes the second Sankarshan, the second quadruple. And then comes the Purusha Avatars, which are mentioned in this verse. So this is way down. But even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Purusha Avatars are described. And even the Guna Avatars are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Though it is an extremely advanced literature. So even there is a systematic approach. It's not straight jumping into the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise that is very, very dangerous. And that can create a lot of disturbance in society. It has created a lot of disturbance. We see in India, it's created so much disturbance. But they go straight to the pastimes of Krishna, and then they imitate Krishna's pastimes. So that's the disturbance. So there are people who imitate the Rasa Leela without understanding what it's really about, without understanding what Rasa Leela is. So some people, they become Krishna, and then they invite women and they have Rasa Leela. Even in Vrindavan, it goes on. So this is an example of how, when this is not understood properly, it can create so much disturbance. So one reason why Maharaj Parikshit wanted to understand the creation is to explain what God is, so that people do not claim to be God. If someone claims, I'm God, then they have to demonstrate all this. So Maharaj Parikshit, that's why he asked all these questions, so we understand what it really means to be God. So if someone says God, you can ask them all these questions. How did you create the material world? So Krishna creates... Krishna has nothing to do with the material world. Krishna is enjoying his pastimes in Vrindavan, in Golok. So Krishna is not interested in the material world. But material creation has to go on. And in a sense he is interested, because he wants us back with him. In that sense he is interested. But he doesn't want to get involved in the running of the material world. Krishna wants to enjoy his loving pastimes. So to run the material world, he has the Purusha Avatars. So the Purusha Avatars, headed by Karna Dakshaya Vishnu, they are in charge of running the affairs. So Karna Dakshaya Vishnu lets out all the universes, and within every universe there is Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu. So from Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu comes Brahma. And then within the heart of every living entity is Vishnu again. So the Supreme Lord, as it's mentioned here, and also as it's mentioned in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second chapter, there's a very nice verse. Sattvam rajas tama iti prakritir gunai stai yukta para purusho eka ihasya dhate sthiti adye hari virinchi hareti samgya Shreyamsi tatra khalau sattva tamo rinamsyu. Translation: the transcendental personality of Godhead is indirectly associated with the three modes of material nature, namely passion, goodness and ignorance. And just for the material world's creation, maintenance and destruction, he accepts the three qualitative forms of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. So the Supreme Lord comes as the Guna Avatars. As the Purusha Avatars are the three Vishnu, and then the Guna Avatars are Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh or Shiva. For the purpose of creation, maintenance and annihilation of the material world. So Krishna does not come in contact with the material energy. Even Vishnu does not come in contact. But Brahma deals with the material energy. He creates. Lord Shiva destroys it. And on Lord Vishnu, he maintains it. But Lord Vishnu is aloof from the material creation. But through these three guna avatars, the material, the three modes of nature, you know, they function, and whole material creation goes on. But if someone wants to come out of the material creation, one has to approach Vishnu, because Vishnu can give liberation. Brahma and Shiva cannot give liberation. So materialistic people, they are actually shaktas. Shaktas means they are interested in the energy of the Lord. They're not interested in the personality of Godhead. So the example is like, you know, so many people, scientists, they're doing research into the energy of the Lord. They're studying the energy in so much detail to exploit it, to enjoy it. Or someone is very pious, they will approach demigods to enjoy again the energy. So they are shaktas. So there are so many worshippers of Durga, of Ma Kali, of Indra, like that. But for the purpose of enjoying this world, they want results very quick. And they get that if they do it properly. But higher than that is worship of the personality of Godhead. To understand that Krishna is the source of the energies, and he controls the energies, and they're coming from him. So here it's explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the creation of the material world, accepts the three gunas. And Krishna is residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable. So in conclusion, it's very important to understand the creation of the Lord if we want to understand the greatness of the Lord and gradually appreciate the pastimes of Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, and the purpose of ISKCON is to propagate pure loving devotion unto Krishna, following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. So any questions or comments? Understand your question. There is both. So in of course Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is it is fear based but at the same time there is love also. So our love for Krishna is gradually increasing, you know, our faith, you know, steadiness, ruchi, all these things are gradually increasing. But the underlying thing is fear. But in our propagation of Krishna consciousness, we do not emphasize the fear aspect. So like in so many religions, or even if you're walking on the street in these clothes, people have approached me of a certain religion, and they say, if you don't surrender to Jesus, you're going to hell. So they are basically inducing fear. They're using the fear tactic. You know, this is the only way, and the rest of you are going to rot in hell for the rest of eternity. And that's how they are preaching. And that kind of preaching is not very effective. When you try to get people to surrender to God based only on fear, people don't like that. No one likes it. So we have to emphasize the love aspect more. We have to emphasize, put it this way, the positive side of Krishna consciousness more. So we don't say, okay, follow the four regs are there, but initially we don't stress those things. You know, if you don't follow, you'll go to hell. You know, all these things are true. What they're saying is true. Even the Srimad Bhagavatam, what it says, the fifth canto, the different types of hells for you know, committing certain sinful activities. That's all is true. But we stress the positive aspect of Krishna consciousness. That if one becomes a devotee, you know, one can develop love for Krishna. And Krishna consciousness is great. Krishna consciousness is very exciting. You can do so much. And Krishna consciousness is not boring. So we emphasize the positive aspects. And then naturally people will understand the philosophy. And then once they start practicing sadhana bhakti, then there is a certain element of fear is there. But though our practice of sadhana bhakti, we should not only be thinking about, you know, if I don't do this, this will happen. If I don't do that, that will happen. We have to focus more on the positive. Like we have to focus more on more on our service, more on Krishna's pastimes. Get the idea?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually,
so we have to focus more on the positive sides of Krishna consciousness. And though, but we have to be also at the same time a little fearful also. We should not be too, you know, just, you know, totally fearless. We don't care about the rules. We can't ignore that fully also. But at the same time, we are not rendering our bhakti in a state of full fear. So there has to be a certain degree of fear, but that fear has to be healthy. It shouldn't be that it engulfs our consciousness and all we are thinking is, oh, you know, I said this to that person and I'm going to hell. So that is full fear. So there has to be a certain degree of fear, but not that it be just consumed by fear. Yeah, we have to follow what he's saying. He's the founder Acharya, and all of the spiritual masters also basically follow his instructions and propagate his instructions. So then if we read his teachings and he says we have to follow the residents of Vrindavan, so we have to come to that level by following our spiritual master. That's the process. Anything else? So in the higher stages, one will follow a resident of Vrindavan. In the higher stages.
Thank you.
and that fear gets transformed gradually, depending on what our attachment to Krishna is, whether it's based on all reverence, etc. But gradually we don't ponder under the sahaja mentality or the gopika mentality, as Prabhu was mentioning, but we gradually go from Shivada up to Sri Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. So the point is not prematurely meditating on residence of Vrindavan. That's after, you know, anartha nivritti, and much later, yeah, comes like that. So we have to follow in the instructions of our spiritual master. As yeah, Gopananda Shroff made a good point. Prabhupada said, "I'm a resident of Vrindavan." You put it in context. But we have to understand that what the goal is. So the goal has to be very clear. Otherwise one will not aspire for that. Anything else? Sorry?
Sadhana Bhakti means what?
Sadhana Bhakti means to follow the rules and regulations of scripture under the authority of a spiritual master. So the difference between that and like Raganuga Bhakti is, so whereas in Sadhana one is following because one has to, you know what I mean? So out of duty, it's based on duty consciousness, and underlying is, as I mentioned before, fear. So it's because of duty. My spiritual master has told me, do this. Prabhupada said, you know, rise early in the morning, chant your rounds, go to Mangalati, dress the deities, or do your service, like that. So this is based on rules, and a life is very structured. So whereas in Raganuga, one could be doing the same things, but one is doing spontaneously. So for us, it's one day we feel like doing, other day we don't feel like doing. Today we very enthusiastic to chant our rounds. Tomorrow is like, you know, the 16 rounds are a big burden. So then we can understand we are not a pure devotee. So that's, but we still do it because out of duty. So we are chanting our rounds, 16 rounds out of duty. We have taken a vow at the time of initiation, we'll chant 16 rounds and not break 4 rigs. So that comes in our mind, and we do it because out of duty. Otherwise my Guru Maharaj won't be pleased, and I'll be condemned. So that's good, it's very nice. One has to do like that. But one has to rise above that and come to a higher level. That's what our teachings are all about. Not to stagnate over there.
You can actually go for another hour to the Parikhan and another hour away.
Sorry?
So we can go another hour because the Parikhan for the past is another hour away.
More important. Well, the pastimes, interesting word, more important. Well, the pastimes of Vrindavan are more relishable because the intensity of love is much greater than in Mathura or Dwarka. So in Dwarka, they know Krishna is God, but they're covered to a degree. But they understand that this is Vasudev, he's the Supreme Lord. So it's kind of mixed, they're covered and not. So in Mathura it's more covered, and in Vrindavan it's fully covered. So the intensity of love and sweetness is very higher. And over there, Dwarka is more in opulence. Krishna is served in opulence, you know, big palaces, very royal. Mathura is also a bit like that. Vrindavan is there's no Aishwarya. It's like, you know, village life. So it's like that over there. So if we read Krishna's childhood pastimes, they were performed in Vrindavan. In the beginning chapters of the 10th canto, it's there. Till chapter 30 or 33, it's all in Vrindavan. So you can see how the relationships are extremely Sweet. And though Krishna performs activities which prove that he's God, but still they don't see him as God. They think actually Vishnu has saved him. So it's like that. So they though even he killed Kaliya. So many times the residents of Vrindavan, they didn't see him killing the demons. But this time they saw him killing Kaliya. When he was in the coils of Kaliya, they came, they all were stunned. And then they saw him come out of the coil and he was dancing on Kaliya and he killed him. And but they thought, you know, he's been saved by the grace of the Lord. And so they still didn't take him to be God. So there it's very, the love is so intense that that they forget he's God. They get the covered over. And that comes in between the relationship with him. So when Mother Yashoda realized for a second that Krishna is God, when she opened his mouth and wanted to see if he had eaten dirt, but then she quickly got covered over and Krishna covered her over, and then again, oh no, this cannot be God, this is my son. So therefore those the pastimes of Krishna are the highest, they're most relishable. It's actually all pastimes are very important, but for our movement ISKCON and the Gaudiya Vaishnav, we focus on the pastimes of Krishna. Okay. It's 9 o'clock. Past 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.